from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the Odyssey app. Give us your thoughts on my 2.5-year plan for a Super Bowl. Trust the process here that Josh Harris has put in place with the hiring of Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, and the draft picks that the Commanders have already made. I think this is the most important offseason in Commanders history. They've got to get it right, a chance to wipe the slate clean. There's no more Dan Snyder, which means there's no more excuses, right? How many times did I say that on this show with my friends, with my parents? Oh, yeah, the Commanders are good this year, but, you know, something's going to happen because of Dan Snyder. Up, Snyder's going to do this. Snyder's going to do that. Up, it's another drama-filled story, another New York Post article about the Commanders revolving around Dan Snyder. He's gone, right? He's officially gone. He was gone last year, but it felt like you still had the Dan Snyder stench in the building. It smelled like Dan Snyder, and there was still a cloud around Aspirin. Ron Rivera's gone. Right? He was part of that Dan Snyder stench, too. You can now start over. It's Josh Harris handpicking Adam Peters, handpicking Dan Quinn, and the staff that they've put together. There's no more excuses. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. You can always tweet me at AWOD Radio. Aaron tweets me, AWOD, I can't call in this morning, but this is the most optimistic I've been about the Commanders in my life. So excited for this season. I totally agree. This is the season that starts the 2.5-year plan. Let's go out to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. We've got Mike in Fairfax. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, man? Great show as always, buddy.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, of course. So, first of all, your plan is fantastic, and you're absolutely correct. I'm so glad we have Peters, and as long as we continue with him, and he continues to pick players that are going to make the Commanders succeed, we will absolutely, I think, be in great shape. And I am excited for this season. It's not that I'm worried about the coaching, but I think as you brought this up, we're going to have to really see how this all works out with Quinn, with the other coaches. Is it actually going to work? You know, people say, well, Quinn's been to the Super Bowl. Well, guess who else has been to the Super Bowl? Rob, and that was a disaster. I'm not comparing the two. Obviously, I'm not comparing the two. But it's a really big there's a lot on Quinn's plate, and there's a lot on the player's plate, obviously. But it's really going to be an interesting season, and hopefully Quinn is up for the task and the other coordinators. Thanks for taking my call, brother.
Yeah, no, good call, man. I appreciate you chiming in. And you're right. There are a lot of similarities between Ron Rivera and Dan Quinn. Heck, they're both defensive coaches. They've both been to a Super Bowl. They both were on their second chance here. I just think, you know, and I hate to, you know, harp on Ron. I just think Ron felt like, hey, I was done wrong in Carolina. They did me dirty, right? And that was the whole joke with Dan Snyder. Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, I got fired at Thanksgiving, so I got to hang out with my family, and I regrouped, and now I'm coming to Washington to dominate. And really, that was the whole thing, is that Ron thought that what he did in Carolina was right, and so he kind of brought guys over from Carolina. How funny is it that he brought in all these guys from Carolina who did nothing, and now all of a sudden, Dan Quinn comes in, his two best free agents might have been from Carolina, and Jeremy Chinn and Frankie Louvu, but we talked about this at the beginning of the season, or the beginning of the offseason. It's just like Dan Quinn knew he made mistakes in Atlanta, and he's trying to make up for those mistakes and doing things differently. And he talked to several coaches around the league. He owned up his mistakes and wanted to learn about how he could improve. And he had a lot of success in Dallas. Three straight trips to the postseason. And that is so difficult to do in the National Football League. Could you imagine, you know, 2.5 years from now, if Washington made the playoffs 3 years in a row, this city would be bumping. Even if we lost in the first round every year, as long as we got into the postseason, got that extra game, and they sold extra tickets, the ownership would be happy. The fan base would be happy. I do think getting into the postseason is the first big thing here as you build the momentum. Not saying it's going to happen this year or even next, but I do think you've got to get in. And then once you're in and you're knocking on the door, then you can bust through if you can keep the building blocks. And hopefully they've got the building block at the quarterback position with Jaden Daniels. I just really think that he's going to be awesome this season. We mentioned the quotes from Terry McLaurin, who I thought that was great when he was on SportsCenter this week. And, you know, Dan Quinn has kind of echoed the same thing about Jaden Daniels and where he's at. Donald, can we play clip five here? Dan Quinn on Daniels and his development. And it's just the little things that I wanted to just harp on here with Jaden Daniels. Is I just think he's doing the little things right, and he knows he's not a star yet. He said he's not a star yet, but he's showing up early. He's learning how to be a pro, and I just think, you know, man, he's getting me fired up here, and I think he does have a lot of similarities to C.J. Stroud. Let's play clip five on Dan Quinn.
I think it's the execution, and the reason I say that is there's not usually like, I need that call again, I need it again, or you're asking, you know, in the headset to go. So in the huddle, the clear communication, I listen to every call that he makes, and so the IDing of the protection. So I would say he's further along, you know, than you probably should be. But that's probably a, you know, attribute to him as well, to say like he was not going to leave, you know, a stone unturned in terms of the execution of it. And that's what we talked about over his next 40 days of the smallest of details again and again and again.
And it is so important for Jaden Daniels throughout this entire process as he learns to be a pro to stay humble. And that's going to be so important. And I think it's a great thing to try to compare Jaden Daniels to what C.J. Stroud did. And he stayed humble, and just a really great rookie season there for the Houston Texans. And, oh, yeah, that was a first-year head coach. Oh, yeah, it was a defensive-minded head coach in D'Amico Ryans. There are some similarities between that signing and the head coach here in Washington with Dan Quinn. And, you know, I do agree with Chris Russell earlier. They have not done enough to protect Jaden Daniels. The good thing is he runs a little bit, right? The offensive line will need to improve next offseason and one more offseason after that for us to get to the point where I do believe we can compete for a Super Bowl. We can be legit contenders. I wanted five new starters on the offensive line. Well, I think we got four new ones. Sam Cosmi here to stay. Really good grade from him last season from Pro Football Focus, which I kind of didn't see because all I saw was how many times Sam Howell was getting sacked. And so I think, you know, they did a good job with the interior this offseason. Next offseason, it's the tackles, right? And then one after that, it's all about getting some depth here. You know, Dan Quinn said it in the clip from the Commander's log. Let's get the flashy, sexy players later. Let's get the building blocks right now. And I think there's a lot of building blocks on this team. And I'm even going to say that Bobby Wagner may not be the Bobby Wagner that he was when I originally wanted him 5 or 6 years ago to Washington. But I still think he's the same Bobby Wagner mentally. And his NFL IQ on the defensive side of the ball, it's just going to do wonders to this entire defense here. And maybe even the offense. Of course, we had the quote that went viral where Bobby Wagner was telling Sam Cosmi that he can see when he's pulling, right? And so I think Bobby Wagner is going to really improve just the IQ of the defense. The defense played dumb last year at times, right? What about the time where two different safeties were looking at each other and there was a guy wide open in the end zone? Or the A.J. Brown game where we tried everybody and they couldn't guard him, right? Like, this defense was just making dumb decisions last year, and maybe it was just dumb coaching, or maybe it was the players not playing well for them, or maybe we just didn't have the talent. I mean, how many times did Benjamin St. Juice get beat, Emmanuel Forbes get beat? But I do believe with better coaching, and from better coaching on the field from Bobby Wagner, you're going to have much less explosive plays that this team gives up. We'll take more of your phone calls here on The Fan. You're listening to AWOD. It's 1-800-636-1067. If you're enjoying the show, you can check me out during the week. It's easy. Download the Odyssey app for free and just search 910 The Fan to hear me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7. The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the Odyssey app. We like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. 1-800-636-1067. The reason I got into radio, my dad used to always let me borrow his phone driving home from Redskins games. We were season ticket holders for 17 years. Watched nothing but failure for 17 years. But he would always let me call in and complain about what the coaching staff did wrong. That's why I got so into sports radio. And I'm very happy to be here with you on Saturday mornings in the nation's capital, talking about all of my favorite teams, all four of the D.C. sports teams. We mentioned Naps, Wiz, and Caps earlier. Wizards have the number 2 overall draft pick in this Wednesday's draft. We'll get back into the Wizards a little bit later on in the show today. I did have my big reveal. Donald, what'd you think? AWOD's 2.5-year plan for the Commanders to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm with you. I like it. It's, you know, very solid plan. Like one of the callers said, I just think, you know, it's contingent upon, you know, what this coaching staff can ultimately do. You know, the right pieces falling in place, you know, knock on wood, no serious injuries or anything like that. But, you know, football in general is just such a unpredictable sport, especially with how physical it is. So anything can happen at any time to derail a plan. So,
yeah.
But just on the surface, you just breaking it down like that, you know, it sounds like a solid plan.
Well, you need the building blocks to show up, right? And so Ben Sennett, right? Can he jump onto the scene and prove that, hey, we drafted a tight end of the future this year? Mike Sanders still. Can Luke McCaffrey do something, right? I mean, I said I think he could be my preseason MVP. I'm really excited about him. Does Washington have their slot wide receiver of the future? How much improvement is the defense going to make with Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu? We need to see some of these building blocks that we've got come in and make the improvements, show that there is some momentum moving forward for this team. You can learn something from the way Dan Quinn wears his hat. Latest Commanders article from the Washington Post, Candace Buckner. Last season, there were rules about how Washington could wear their hats. Dan Quinn has a very different way of doing business. Love Candace Buckner. She crushes coaches like none other. Donald, I love her takes. She destroyed Wes Unseld Jr. I think we talked about it a few months ago for his failures with the Wizards, and she's back with another crushing article of Eric Bieniemy. Now, let me say this. Eric Bieniemy failed. It's true. There's no other way to look at it. He failed. He's not in the NFL anymore. I hope he gets back there. I really wanted to believe in him. I was excited all of last season. I felt like anytime he spoke, I wanted him to be the head coach, because I will say he was much more of giving me confidence and motivating than Ron Rivera. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. Eric Bieniemy, much more of a motivator than Ron Rivera. But it didn't work. And here's the thing. He was dealt an impossible hand, right? Rookie quarterback. Lame duck coach working for Ron Rivera, who knew he was going to get fired. The worst defense in the league, right? I mean, think about that. Rookie quarterback, lame duck coach, worst defense in the league. That's like playing Texas Hold'em, being dealt 6'10 off-suited. He should have folded. He should have never taken the job here in Washington. But he stayed with it. He rode out that terrible hand to the finish line. He threw everything on the table, right? Throwing almost every single play. He only cared about hitting the home run. Hitting the straight, praying he'd get a 7-8-9 in the flop. He got nothing but a 4-13 record. So he failed, all right? As much as I wanted to believe in him, it didn't work at all right? But Candace Buckner had some really eye-opening quotes with this article here, and I know some shows have already talked about it, but Sam Cosmi, all right, said, he was speaking of his wife. He said, she likes when I have my hat backwards. She prefers it for my hat to be backwards. She likes it that way. All right. He would go on to say that Eric Bieniemy came to run to town and did not let that happen. All right. I mean, really eye-opening stuff there, that you cannot wear your hat. Like, what are we doing here? We can't wear your hat backwards. The quote was, last year, I was not allowed to wear my hat backwards in the building. So that's a little fun fact there. That was something that we as players, offensive side, we were not allowed to wear our hat backwards. And, like, think about that for a second here. Like, we've talked about the Brian Robinson quote, and I think that's another one that's eye-opening, how the coaching staff and the players just didn't get along. They weren't on the same page. I don't know if they didn't respect each other, or if they didn't listen to each other, or they didn't want to run through a brick wall for each other. But you could see it out there on the field. Remember, the Brian Robinson quote was, we just didn't come together on the same page where we could take something from the practice field to the game field. And it's just wearing a hat backwards. But the offensive side of the ball wasn't happy with it. They weren't happy with it. Dan Quinn comes in. He's known for wearing his hat backwards. He's a backwards hat guy. And this is what I want to say about it, all right? I think there's something to having the players respect the coaches and wanting to play for them and wanting to learn from them. You know, this is a sport here where all of us that watch it, most of us are not millionaires. We're watching millionaires beat each other up. And how does a millionaire motivate another millionaire? You know, like, how does one do that? Well, You got to have respect for that person. You got to want to believe in that person. And I think there, those little things, they affect how you play out there on the football field. I think the reason that Andy Reid has been so good as a coach with the Chiefs and the Eagles is he's such a great players coach. They love him. And he's a hard ass, right? He's not. It's not going to be easy playing for Coach Andy Reid, but they love him. They respect him. And we hoped we were going to get that from Eric Bieniemy. Well, it turns out Ron Rivera let the cat out of the bag. People didn't like playing for Eric Bieniemy. They were questioning his coaching styles. Well, you got a completely different regime this year, and I can tell you it does feel like they were going to be able to wear their hat backwards in the building because that is a Dan Quinn thing. And so, you know, Sam Cosmi thinks that it is a joke. Like, there's a little fun fact there, but I think you can read more into the lines of, hey, we didn't like that guy. We just didn't like him. We didn't respect him. We didn't want to run through a wall for him. You know, the offensive line was just kind of makeshift last year, especially the offensive line coaches, because they had to move things around. And, you know, the offensive linemen have already talked about the new coach in place this year. And I love hearing Joe Witt. And, you know, he came out and said that Bobby Wagner came up to him and said, hey, I didn't think you installed that right at practice and we could do this, this, and this better. The communication is key. Communication is key in every aspect of life, and especially you know, in radio, right? You got to be able to communicate with your producer. Oh, you got to hit the break here, A-Wad. You're going over your time limit. Communication is key in every business, but I think it's huge in the NFL, in football. I mean, we see it out there on the field all the time on defense. You got to communicate. Hey, switch. Hey, if we're playing a zone, they run through my zone here, you got to pick them up. Last year, the defensive communication was an F. It was a failure, and it was embarrassing to watch the defense communicate on the field. And part of me thinks because they didn't respect Jack Del Rio or his schemes at all. And hopefully things change this year with a much improved coaching staff. If you want to chime in on the backwards hat controversy, it's easy. 1-800-636-1067. Or you can tweet me at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Happy Saturday. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the Odyssey app. Just after 11:30 here on a Saturday, June 22nd. A lot of things to do today because there is beautiful weather. I can't wait to get out and about today. And Donald, I've been playing a lot of pickleball this summer. So I'm going to try to pick up a paddle and get out there today, get some exercise while I sweat it out here, all the alcohol that I drank yesterday. you can give us your thoughts throughout the show on our 2.5-year plan for a Super Bowl. We were just talking about Candace Buckner's article about the backwards hat controversy. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067, or tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. Let's go to Nick in Reston. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's up, AWOD? Thanks, man. You were talking about Bieniemy a moment ago, and I agree that situation he came into was, you know, challenging, if not impossible. But I feel like he didn't do himself any favors either with the way he designed his game plans. He didn't do a good job of evaluating the strengths and weaknesses on both sides of the ball and designing a game plan that would play into that would, you know, accommodate both.
Yeah.
Dropping Howell back 40, 45 times a game wasn't this team's strength on the offensive line. I mean, the O-linemen like to run block more than like to pass block. And given the defensive struggles we had, you know, our best defense would have been long, sustained offensive drives, keeping the defense off the field, or, you know, minimizing the amount of time the defense had to be on the field. And I feel like Bieniemy just never understood that, or it took too long, or he was stubborn and tried to force fit a scheme onto a team that just wasn't built to run that scheme.
I totally agree with you. And I think, look, let's go back to week one of the season. Sam Howell, 19 of 31. They ran the ball 28 times. That's what you wanted to happen, right? And they win 20-16. Week two, things changed. They ended up getting the win, but remember, they were getting blown out by Denver early on. Then the losing streak starts happening, and at that point, I think Eric Bieniemy decided, hey, I'm going to coach for my future. And tell me what you think about this, because I felt this way for a lot of the season. He was throwing the ball because he didn't care about wins and losses. He knew that his resume was going to reflect the stats of Sam Howell. And so Sam Howell was like first in yards for a while, right? And that looked great for Eric Bieniemy. And I think that's why he kept calling so many throws, is because he was coaching for a future job, not for winning and losing last season.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That's a good point. I mean, it's certainly a valid way to look at it.
Yeah, so do you have confidence in Cliff Kingsbury now taking over as the offensive coordinator?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what we can do with the revamped offensive line, new quarterback. I've got a little bit more confidence, I think, in Kingsbury than what we threw out there last year. I guess the time will tell, but I'm excited. I'm eager to see what they can do. It'll be exciting with the new quarterback and some of the new tools on the offense and to see what we can do. So looking forward to it.
Yep, appreciate you chiming in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Last year, the numbers offensively were 69.5% of the time they threw the football. This year, I want it a little bit below 60%, like 59%. And the thing is that Cliff Kingsbury is not going to want to do that. He's got this air raid offense. I think we need Anthony Lynn to step up and get into his ear. And Austin Eckler, hey, use us, run the ball with me and Brian Robinson Jr. and establish the ground and pound. And then, you know, I think if you've been watching the NFL the last few years, like the Detroit Lions showed you this year, they had the most efficient offense. The reason why was they ran the ball and then boom, hard play action with a really good play action quarterback, Jared Goff. And it set up Amon-Ra St. Brown wide open sometimes in the middle of the field. And that was a catch and run for an explosive play right there. And they had a good emerging tight end. And they kind of showed the blueprint. And I think that's why everybody wanted Ben Johnson to come here to Washington, even though I never did. I was always a Dan Quinn guy. I wanted us to improve on the defensive end first. But, hey, that is what I want this team to do this year, is some of the things that Ben Johnson did successfully, which is have your quarterback under center, not always shotgun. That was another thing that Eric Bieniemy did that kind of drove me crazy. Over and over and over and over and over again, it was shotgun, shotgun, shotgun runs. Like, you have to have Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes in my mind to have a shotgun run be very successful. All right, you need your quarterback under center and running, and that way the play action works, and it didn't work with Eric Bieniemy. I don't know that Cliff Kingsbury wants to do that. I think he wants to have his quarterback in shotgun with three wide, but hopefully he will listen to Anthony Lynn and run the ball more effectively and more, quite frankly, a lot more than they did last year. And so I think the numbers that would be great for Washington last year was 69.5%. Drop that by 10%. 59.5% pass, the other half run, and then some off-script runs from Jaden Daniels. That's what I'm interested in. So last season, Lamar Jackson, 148 carries. Sam Howell, 48 carries. I think I want Jaden Daniels around 65 to 70, and maybe even higher than that. And a lot of those, though, are not going to be designed runs. They're going to be, hey, he scrambles and decides, I've got to take off here. Or he drops back, avoids the sack right away, and then boom, just takes off. Some of them off-scripted, some of them we're going to call for it, you know. But I am really hoping that they can run the ball a lot this year, and that ground-and-pound game will help the offensive line as well. The offensive line struggled so much last year also because of that 69.5% number. They knew, and the defense knew, that the tackles were going to drop back and not push forward. And, you know, I think the more you run, the more it helps you with pass protection. Logan Paulson has explained it to me once before. Like, as an offensive lineman or as a blocking tight end, you're constantly getting pushed backwards. Well, when you get your chance to push the other guy to put him on his ass, that's when you get some confidence moving forward, and that's what they need to do to establish the run this season. So we've got one more segment here on the show today. If you missed it, you can always rewind on the Odyssey app or check out the podcast, Overtime on 106.7, the Donald will post after the show here. Washington Wizards have a chance to change the fortunes of their franchise on Wednesday with the number 2 overall pick. I want Alexander Sarr. I've wanted him all offseason. Well, lucky for me, the latest mock drafts have Zachary Richechet going number 1 and Alexander Sarr falling to Washington at number 2. A 7-footer with a 7'4 wingspan who's got a decent-looking jump shot. He can kind of dribble a little bit, but is a rim protector and a floor runner. I think of him as like a young Daniel Gafford that they can hopefully develop into some offensive game. Daniel Gafford, though, couldn't step outside of the paint and hit a jump shot at all. Maybe Derek Lively, more of an example of what I want Sarr to be, and you saw how successful he was up until probably the NBA Finals, but dominant throughout the Western Conference side of things with catching lobs and protecting the rim. And then pick 26. Look, I want an American that played in the NCAA tournament so that, you know, I would have some kind of scouting report on them. But I think this regime here, with Michael Winger and Will Dawkins, they're going to take another foreign guy, I think, at number 26. Some guy with a high ceiling. Because that's the thing, right? They're bringing in all these guys. They need a franchise-changing player. They need a Jokic. They need a Doncic or a Giannis. And obviously, those three guys I mentioned are international players. I think they're going to go international again with pick number 2 and pick number 26. On Wednesday, and then round 2 will be on Thursday night for this year for the first time, the NBA doing a 2-night NBA draft. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Happy Saturday. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and always available on the go with the Odyssey app. Just after 11:30 here on a Saturday, June 22nd. A lot of things to do today because there is beautiful weather. I can't wait to get out and about today. And Donald, I've been playing a lot of pickleball this summer, so I'm gonna try to pick up a paddle and get out there today, get some exercise while I sweat it out. Here, all the alcohol that I drank yesterday. You can give us your thoughts throughout the show on our 2.5-year plan for a Super Bowl. We were just talking about Candace Buckner's article about the backwards hat controversy. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067, or tweet us your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 1067 The Fan. Let's go to Nick in Reston. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's up, AWOD? Thanks, man. You're talking about the enemy a moment ago, and I agree that the situation he came into was, you know, challenging, if not impossible. But I feel like he didn't do himself any favors either with the way he designed his game plans. He didn't do a good job of evaluating the strengths and weaknesses on both sides of the ball and designing a game plan that would play into that would, you know, accommodate both.
Yeah.
Dropping Howell back 40, 45 times a game wasn't this team's strength on the offensive line. I mean, the linemen like to run block more than like to pass block, and given the defensive struggles we had, you know, our best defense would have been long sustained offensive drives, keeping the defense off the field, or, you know, minimizing the amount of time the defense had to be on the field. And I feel like Bienemy just never understood that, or it took too long, or he was stubborn and tried to force fit a scheme onto a team that just wasn't built to run that scheme.
I totally agree with you. And I think, look, let's go back to week one of the season. Sam Howell, 19 of 31. They ran the ball 28 times. That's what you wanted to happen, right? And they win 20-16. Week two, things changed. They ended up getting the win. But remember, they were getting blown out by Denver early on. Then the losing streak starts happening. And at that point, I think Eric Bieniemy decided, hey, I'm going to coach for my future. And tell me what you think about this, because I felt this way for a lot of the season. He was throwing the ball because he didn't care about wins and losses. He knew that his resume was going to reflect the stats of Sam Howell. And so Sam Howell was like first in yards for a while, right? And that looked great for Eric Bieniemy. And I think that's why he kept calling so many throws, is because he was coaching for a future job, not for winning and losing last season.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. That's a good point. I mean, it's certainly a valid way to look at it.
Yeah. So, do you have confidence in Cliff Kingsbury now taking over as the offense coordinator?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what we can do with the revamped offensive line, new quarterback. I've got a little bit more confidence, I think, in Kingsbury than what we threw out there last year. I guess the time will tell, but I'm excited. I'm eager to see what they can do. It'll be exciting with the new quarterback and some of the new tools on the offense and to see what we can do. So looking forward to it.
Yep. I appreciate you chiming in. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Last year, the numbers offensively were 69.5% of the time they threw the football. This year, I want it a little bit below 60%, like 59%. And the thing is that Cliff Kingsbury is not going to want to do that. He's got this air raid offense. I think we need Anthony Lynn to step up and get into his ear. And Austin Eckler, hey, use us. Run the ball with me and Brian Robinson Jr. and establish the ground and pound. And then, you know, I think if you've been watching the NFL the last few years, like the Detroit Lions showed you this year, they had the most efficient offense. The reason why was they ran the ball, and then boom, hard play action with a really good play action quarterback, Jared Goff. And it set up Amon-Ra St. Brown wide open sometimes in the middle of the field. And that was a catch and run for an explosive play right there. And they had a good emerging tight end. And they kind of showed the blueprint. And I think that's why everybody wanted Ben Johnson to come here to Washington, even though I never did. I was always a Dan Quinn guy. I wanted us to improve on the defensive end first. But, hey, that is what I want this team to do this year, is some of the things that Ben Johnson did successfully, which is have your quarterback under center, not always shotgun. That was another thing that Eric Bieniemy did that kind of drove me crazy. Over and over and over and over and over again, it was shotgun, shotgun, shotgun runs. Like, you have to have Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, in my mind, to have a shotgun run be very successful. All right, you need your quarterback under center and running, and that way the play action works. And it didn't work with Eric Bieniemy. I don't know that Cliff Kingsbury wants to do that. I think he wants to have his quarterback in shotgun with three wide, but hopefully he will listen to Anthony Lynn and run the ball more effectively and more, quite frankly, a lot more than they did last year. And so I think the numbers that would be great for Washington last year was 69.5%. Drop that by 10%. 59.5% pass, the other half run. And then some off-script runs from Jaden Daniels. That's what I'm interested in. So last season, Lamar Jackson, 148 carries. Sam Howell, 48 carries. I think I want Jaden Daniels around 65 to 70, and maybe even higher than that. And a lot of those, though, are not going to be designed runs. They're going to be, hey, he scrambles and decides, I've got to take off here. Or he drops back, avoids the sack right away, and then boom, just takes off. Some of them off-scripted, some of them we're going to call for it, you know. But I am really hoping that they can run the ball a lot this year, and that ground-and-pound game will help the offensive line as well. The offensive line struggled so much last year also because of that 69.5% number. They knew, and the defense knew, that the tackles were going to drop back and not push forward. And, you know, I think the more you run, the more it helps you with pass protection. Logan Paulson has explained it to me once before. Like, as an offensive lineman or as a blocking tight end, you're constantly getting pushed backwards. Well, when you get your chance to push the other guy to put him on his ass, that's when you get some confidence moving forward, and that's what they need to do to establish the run this season. So we've got one more segment here on the show today. If you missed it, you can always rewind on the Odyssey app or check out the podcast, Overtime on 106.7 that Donald will post after the show here. Washington Wizards have a chance to change the fortunes of their franchise on Wednesday with the number 2 overall pick. I want Alexander Sarr. I've wanted him all offseason. Well, lucky for me, the latest mock drafts have Zachary Richechet going number 1 and Alexander Sarr falling to Washington at number 2. A 7-footer with a 7'4 wingspan who's got a decent-looking jump shot, he can kind of dribble a little bit, but is a rim protector and a floor runner. I think of him as like a young Daniel Gafford that they can hopefully develop into some offensive game. Daniel Gafford, though, couldn't step outside of the paint and hit a jump shot at all. Maybe Derek Lively, more of an example of what I want Sarr to be, and you saw how successful he was up until probably the NBA Finals, but dominant throughout the Western Conference side of things with catching lobs and protecting the rim. And then pick 26. Look, I want an American that played in the NCAA tournament so that, you know, I would have some kind of scouting report on them. But I think this regime here with Michael Winger and Michael Winger and Will Dawkins, they're going to take another foreign guy, I think, at number 26. Some guy with a high ceiling. Because that's the thing, right? They're bringing in all these guys. They need a franchise-changing player. They need a Jokic. They need a Doncic or a Giannis. And obviously, those three guys I mentioned are international players. I think they're going to go international again with pick number 2 and pick number 26 on Wednesday. And then round 2 will be on Thursday night for this year for the first time, the NBA doing a 2-night NBA draft. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the Odyssey app. We were talking about the backwards hat discussion, the backwards hat controversy, the backwards hat gate from last year with Sam Cosmi revealing to Candace Buckner of the Washington Post they were not allowed to wear their hats backwards last year. If you want to chime in, you can tweet me at AWOD Radio. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Lem tweets me, I missed this, but I heard the hat discussion. The pendulum always swings back and forth. I believe we can all agree at the end of the day, winning cures all. Looking forward to this season. Mike tweets me, AWOD, I wouldn't have let them wear their hat backwards either. You're not 15. You're a pro football player. Hope Dan Quinn wears his hat normal on game days. I get it. Game days are different, right? You want to be completely professional. And I know EB had a whole rant about it, how it doesn't piss him off, but it tilts him a little bit that Dan Quinn, who's the head man in charge, likes to wear his hat backwards. I love it. I think it's like a college vibe. I think, you know, wearing your hat backwards is like a younger thing to do. You look older when you wear it forwards. That's just my opinion here, and I get it. Probably not on game day, but in the building, you know, when they're just watching the tape, why not let them wear their hat backwards? Do whatever they want. You know, whatever that makes them feel comfortable. You know, especially, you know, the kids nowadays, they're painting their fingernails and all that stuff. I don't care. As long as you're going to show up and work hard and be on time and stay late, that's what's important to me. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. I don't care about the backwards hat thing. I just think it's eye-opening, and I think it shows you that the players didn't get along with the coaches last year, and hopefully there's a better relationship this offseason. Wizards on Wednesday, chance to change the fortunes of the franchise. I believe in this front office. They drafted Bilal Coulibaly. They drafted Tristan Vucevic in the second round. For the first time in a while, a second-round draft pick made an impact. They got him over from overseas. He played towards the end of the season and shown signs of life as a role player, a stretch four in the NBA. Coulibaly, great defensively, right? I mean, really great defensively. I don't think we can. I don't think that should go unnoticed. Great defensively, slowly improving offensively. Now another draft pick. Number two overall, I want Alexander Sarr. I want a center who's a freak athlete that hopefully can learn to stretch the floor. I believe he was a 29% three-point shooter. Shows me there's potential, right? He came off the bench for his team last year and was an awesome defender. Should be able to come in and play defense right away. It looks like Zachary Richichet will go number one overall. But according to my sources with the Wizards, it's going to be a Frenchman at number two, whether that's Richichet if he drops or that's Alexander Sarr. Gary Parris came on the Junks this week, was awesome breaking down the NBA draft. His guy is Reed Sheppard. And I will say, I think Reed Sheppard's going to be really good. Three-point shooter that we've seen, size is not a problem anymore at the point guard position with the success of Jalen Brunson, TJ McConnell. As long as you're good with your body and you're quick enough to get off your shot, you're going to be successful. I just personally like Rob Dillingham more than Reed Sheppard. The two both came off the bench last year for Kentucky. And then we'll see what the Wizards do with the number 26 overall pick. That could be an interesting selection as well. It all goes down on Wednesday night. And Donald, you'll be running that show with Linnell, a little draft night coverage.
Yep. We got some draft night coverage. I think it will be from the from Capital One, from the arena. I think they're having a draft party of that day.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it should be some shows coming out from there. I think there'll be some other guys out there as well. So it should be a good day.
I checked my schedule. I wanted to go to Brooklyn. I wanted to be at the Barclays Center for the draft. This is the first time the Wizards have a top two pick since they took John Wall. Beal was a three. Porter, I think, was a three. This is a top two. This is a chance to get a franchise-changing guy. I think there's going to be a lot of excitement. I haven't heard that many people talking about it. Obviously, I think we're focused in on the NFL offseason. The Nationals are playing some good baseball right now. But believe me, Monday and Tuesday, you're going to hear a lot of hype for the Wizards pick, number two overall. It's also the summer of soccer here, summer 2024. Euro Cup action going on today. Georgia and Czech tied 1-1. 12 noon, I can't wait to watch Cristiano Ronaldo and Portugal against Turkey. Both teams won their opening match. I have Portugal advancing to the finals. I have France against Portugal, with France winning the 2024 Euro Cup. We'll see if they can do it without Kylian Mbappe. Will he return as a masked man? He broke his nose, didn't play at all in France's last game there that they played, in which they drew. 3 p.m., Romania against Belgium. Romania had an upset to start the tournament. That should be a good one. And tonight, Copa America continues. It started the other night with Argentina against Canada. And Copa America is the South American Cup. But this year, it's being played in America with, this year, including USA, Mexico, Canada, CONCACAF teams competing as well. Obviously, Brazil, one of the best soccer nations of all time. Pele, of course, took soccer to America when he played for the New York Cosmos. We all, I think, grew up watching Ronaldo and Ronaldinho, right? Well, I will say, I think this is the least talented Brazilian team in a long time. There are playmakers, Rafinha, Vinny Jr. I don't think they have the star power that they have had previous campaigns, like the Kakas of the world. They just don't, in my mind, have that player that's going to take them over the edge to win this year's Copa America. And so, Argentina, obviously, they're the favorites. They won the World Cup. They've got Lionel Messi. They got half of Inter Miami playing for their team, but still, they're dominant with Di Maria there as well in the attacking. Julian Alvarez, who's been playing for Manchester City. They're the favorites. But, I'm going to explain to you right now why I believe this is the best U.S. soccer team we've had in a long time. I do not like the coach, but I believe in this talent. There's a pathway to a championship. Pathway to the championship game for America. So their quest begins on Sunday against Bolivia. And really, America kind of lucked out with the group that they are in here. It's an older Uruguayan squad. That's the really tough team that's in Group C with USA, Bolivia, and Panama. We've struggled with Panama in the past, but should be able to handle them. America needs a statement win Sunday at 6 p.m. against Bolivia. I'm talking about 3 or 4 goals in the net, a clean sheet, and that's how you get things started here. That starts the pathway to success for this USA team in the summer of soccer. They need the strikers to score. That's been an issue for a while. I'm hoping that Balogun starts. We'll see if Pepe gets an opportunity, if it's Haji Wright. Whoever starts at striker, they've got to put goals in the net. If they do not score, they need to be taken out of the starting lineup and move in somebody else. And heck, give Josh Sargent a try if you have to. I think Greg Berhalter needs to rotate through these strikers 45 minutes at a time. If you score a goal, you can stay on the pitch. If you're not scoring, you're not doing anything for me as a starting striker. Then I go to the goalie, Matt Turner, who was not at his best when America played against Colombia. He was at his best when they tied Brazil 1-1 in the last tune-up before this tournament. The old saying is, as a goalkeeper, Matt Turner needs to stand on his head. He needs to be having like man-of-the-match type performances for the U.S. if they're going to be successful. Right back, Joe Scally, who is replacing Sergiño Dest, who's hurt, he's got to hold his own. He was not very good against Colombia. He was a little bit better against Brazil, but also Vinicius Jr. got the best of him a few times. That's a weak spot right now for the U.S. men's national team. In my opinion, right back is such an important position right now in soccer because the best right backs in the world, Kyle Walker, just to point out one right there, they push forward. They get part of the attack, and they swing in a ton of really good crosses as well. Then I point to Weston McKennie, who's been a big part of the midfield here for the U.S. men's national team for a long time. He needs to push forward. What he does for his club team, push forward, get into the box, create chances, get shots on goal, try to be a scorer from the midfield as well. Christian Pulisic, he's got to be our star, be our finisher like he was against Brazil. America's got to beat Bolivia 4-0. Got to come out and set the tone. Their next match, well, that is going to be on Thursday, June 27th, against Panama. And that's why I believe in this pathway for America here. You blow out Bolivia. You get another win against Panama. You have 6 points going into the game against Uruguay. You get a tie there, and then all of a sudden, you're the winners of the group. The winners of their group will play against second place from Brazil's group, right? Brazil will most likely win their group. That would be USA against Colombia. A rematch from the 5-1 defeat. USA wins that game in penalty kicks. Then you get Brazil or Uruguay. Hopefully Uruguay pulls off the upset. And America faces off against Uruguay. wins that one, and we'll see Argentina in the finals. The pathway to a championship game. Not saying we're going to beat Argentina in the finals, but I think there's a pathway to America getting to the championship game. It's a failure if they don't get out of their group, in my mind. It's a failure if they don't win two games in this tournament, get two victories, not a win, and two draws to get out of the group and then lose the next game. Two legit victories in this tournament. If that does not happen, Greg Berhalter should be out of a job, and America should be searching for the next head coach to hopefully bring some success to America when the World Cup comes here in 2026. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Donald, thanks for running the ones and twos. I'll see you guys next Saturday on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7, The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the Odyssey app. We were talking about the backwards hat discussion, the backwards hat controversy, the backwards hat gate from last year with Sam Cosmi revealing to Candace Buckner of the Washington Post they were not allowed to wear their hats backwards last year. If you want to chime in, you can tweet me at AWOD Radio. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. Lem tweets me, I missed this, but I heard the hat discussion. The pendulum always swings back and forth. I believe we can all agree at the end of the day, winning cures all. Looking forward to this season. Mike tweets me, AWOD, I wouldn't have let them wear their hat backwards either. You're not 15. You're a pro football player. Hope Dan Quinn wears his hat normal on game days. I get it. Game days are different, right? You want to be completely professional. And I know EB had a whole rant about it, how it doesn't piss him off, but it tilts him a little bit that Dan Quinn, who's the head man in charge, likes to wear his hat backwards. I love it. I think it's like a college vibe. I think, you know, wearing your hat backwards is like a younger thing to do. You look older when you wear it forwards. That's just my opinion here. And I get it. Probably not on game day, but in the building, you know, when they're just watching the tape, why not let them wear their hat backwards? Do whatever they want. You know, whatever that makes them feel comfortable. You know, especially, you know, the kids nowadays, they're painting their fingernails and all that stuff. I don't care. As long as you're going to show up and work hard and be on time and stay late, that's what's important to me. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. I don't care about the backwards hat thing. I just think it's eye-opening, and I think it shows you that the players didn't get along with the coaches last year, and hopefully there's a better relationship this offseason. Wizards on Wednesday, chance to change the fortunes of the franchise. I believe in this front office. They drafted Bilal Coulibaly. They drafted Tristan Vucevic in the second round. For the first time in a while, a second-round draft pick made an impact. They got him over from overseas. He played towards the end of the season and shown signs of life as a role player, a stretch four in the NBA. Coulibaly, great defensively, right? I mean, really great defensively. I don't think we can. I don't think that should go unnoticed. Great defensively, slowly improving offensively. Now another draft pick. Number two overall, I want Alexander Sarr. I want a center who's a freak athlete that hopefully can learn to stretch the floor. I believe he was a 29% three-point shooter. Shows me there's potential, right? He came off the bench for his team last year and was an awesome defender. Should be able to come in and play defense right away. It looks like Zachary Richichet will go number one overall. But according to my sources with the Wizards, it's going to be a Frenchman at number two. Whether that's Richichet if he drops or that's Alexander Sarr. Gary Parris came on the Junks this week. Was awesome breaking down the NBA draft. His guy is Reed Sheppard. And I will say, I think Reed Sheppard's going to be really good. Three-point shooter that we've seen, size is not a problem anymore at the point guard position with the success of Jalen Brunson, TJ McConnell. As long as you're good with your body and you're quick enough to get off your shot, you're going to be successful. I just personally like Rob Dillingham more than Reed Sheppard. The two both came off the bench last year for Kentucky. And then we'll see what the Wizards do with the number 26 overall pick. That could be an interesting selection as well. It all goes down on Wednesday night. And Donald, you'll be running that show with Linnell, a little draft night coverage?
Yep, yep. We got some draft night coverage. I think he will be. It will be from Capital One, from the arena. I think they're having a draft party that day.
Oh, that's awesome.
So yeah, so it should be some shows coming out from there. I think there'll be some other guys out there as well. So it should be a good day.
I checked my schedule. I wanted to go to Brooklyn. I wanted to be at the Barclays Center for the draft. This is the first time the Wizards have a top two pick since they took John Wall. Beal was a three. Porter, I think, was a three. This is a top two. This is a chance to get a franchise-changing guy. I think there's going to be a lot of excitement. I haven't heard that many people talking about it. Obviously, I think we're focused in on the NFL offseason. The Nationals are playing some good baseball right now. But believe me, Monday and Tuesday, you're going to hear a lot of hype for the Wizards pick, number two overall. It's also the summer of soccer here, summer 2024. Euro Cup action going on today. Georgia and Czech tied 1-1, 12 noon. I can't wait to watch Cristiano Ronaldo and Portugal against Turkey. Both teams won their opening match. I have Portugal advancing to the finals. I have France against Portugal, with France winning the 2024 Euro Cup. We'll see if they can do it without Kylian Mbappe. Will he return as a masked man? He broke his nose, didn't play at all in France's last game there that they played, in which they drew. 3 p.m., Romania against Belgium. Romania had an upset to start the tournament. That should be a good one. And tonight, Copa America continues. It started the other night with Argentina against Canada. And Copa America is the South American Cup. But this year, it's being played in America with, this year, including USA, Mexico, Canada, CONCACAF teams competing as well. Obviously, Brazil, one of the best soccer nations of all time. Pele, of course, took soccer to America when he played for the New York Cosmos. We all, I think, grew up watching Ronaldo and Ronaldinho, right? Well, I will say, I think this is the least talented Brazilian team in a long time. There are playmakers, Rafinha, Vinny Jr. I don't think they have the star power that they have had previous campaigns, like the Kakas of the world. They just don't, in my mind, have that player that's going to take them over the edge to win this year's Copa America. And so, Argentina, obviously, they're the favorites. They won the World Cup. They've got Lionel Messi. They got half of Inter Miami playing for their team, but still, they're dominant with Di Maria there as well in the attacking. Julian Alvarez, who's been playing for Manchester City. They're the favorites. But, I'm going to explain to you right now why I believe this is the best U.S. soccer team we've had in a long time. I do not like the coach, but I believe in this talent. There's a pathway to a championship. Pathway to the championship game for America. So their quest begins on Sunday against Bolivia. And really, America kind of lucked out with the group that they are in here. It's an older Uruguayan squad. That's the really tough team that's in Group C with USA, Bolivia, and Panama. We've struggled with Panama in the past, but should be able to handle them. America needs a statement win Sunday at 6 p.m. against Bolivia. I'm talking about three or four goals in the net, a clean sheet, and that's how you get things started here. That starts the pathway to success for this USA team in the summer of soccer. They need the strikers to score. That's been an issue for a while. I'm hoping that Balogun starts. We'll see if Pepe gets an opportunity, if it's Haji Wright. Whoever starts at striker, they've got to put goals in the net. If they do not score, they need to be taken out of the starting lineup and move in somebody else. And heck, give Josh Sargent a try if you have to. I think Greg Berhalter needs to rotate through these strikers 45 minutes at a time. If you score a goal, you can stay on the pitch. If you're not scoring, you're not doing anything for me as a starting striker. Then I go to the goalie, Matt Turner, who was not at his best when America played against Colombia. He was at his best when they tied Brazil 1-1 in the last tune-up before this tournament. The old saying is, as a goalkeeper, Matt Turner needs to stand on his head. He needs to be having like man-of-the-match type performances for the U.S. if they're going to be successful. Right back, Joe Scally, who is replacing Serginho Dest, who's hurt, he's got to hold his own. He was not very good against Colombia. He was a little bit better against Brazil, but also Vinicius Jr. got the best of him a few times. That's a weak spot right now for the U.S. men's national team. In my opinion, right back is such an important position right now in soccer because the best right backs in the world, Kyle Walker, just to point out one right there, they push forward. They get part of the attack, and they swing in a ton of really good crosses as well. Then I point to Weston McKennie, who's been a big part of the midfield here for the U.S. men's national team for a long time. He needs to push forward. What he does for his club team, push forward, get into the box, create chances, get shots on goal, try to be a scorer from the midfield as well. Christian Pulisic has got to be our star, be our finisher like he was against Brazil. America's got to beat Bolivia 4-0. Got to come out and set the tone. Their next match, well, that is going to be on Thursday, June 27th, against Panama. And that's why I believe in this pathway for America here. You blow out Bolivia. You get another win against Panama. You have 6 points going into the game against Uruguay. You get a tie there, and then all of a sudden, you're the winners of the group. The winners of their group will play against second place from Brazil's group, right? Brazil will most likely win their group. That would be USA against Colombia. A rematch from the 5-1 defeat. USA wins that game in penalty kicks. Then you get Brazil or Uruguay. Hopefully Uruguay pulls off the upset. And America faces off against Uruguay. Wins that one. And we'll see Argentina in the finals. The pathway to a championship game. Not saying we're going to beat Argentina in the finals. But I think there's a pathway to America getting to the championship game. It's a failure if they don't get out of their group. In my mind, it's a failure if they don't win 2 games in this tournament, get 2 victories, not a win, and 2 draws to get out of the group and then lose the next game, 2 legit victories in this tournament. If that does not happen, Greg Berhalter should be out of a job, and America should be searching for the next head coach to hopefully bring some success to America when the World Cup comes here in 2026. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Donald, thanks for running the ones and twos. I'll see you guys next Saturday on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.